TNT, I'm dynamite. TNT, I'll win the fight. TNT, I'm a power load. TNT, watch me explode. There we go.
Rob, thanks so much, man.
Of course. Thanks for having us.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. It's good to
Nervous?
Be here. Yes, very.
Why?
I don't know.
We just shoot the shit.
I know.
That's all it is.
Let me just...
But you do this all the time, don't you? Because when you're meeting new clients...
Of course.
Are you still nervous when you meet new clients?
No, not anymore.
So, same thing. But you're not selling me anything.
No. Maybe. You never know.
You never know. I'm a fan of epoxy.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, let's get... let me share the information. So, Rob Sainer's here from Fire Epoxy. You can find them at www.fireepoxy.ca on social media, at Fire Epoxy Inc., also on TikTok, and then you were saying also on Facebook?
Correct.
Facebook, and then his email to reach him is fireepoxy@hotmail.com, and the phone number is 519-716-5045. I'm not wearing anybody's shirt, but thank you very much for the hoodie. I'll wear that on a future show.
Of course.
Let me do a quick shout-out. I'm trying to get up to... trying to get caught up with my fucking listener comment feedback. YouTube, Flav Bean. Just to clarify a few things, guys, the union no longer covers Ozempic unless your doctor shows proof of diabetes, and they stopped with the $2,500 a year for starseed, abbreviated weed. They only cover $1,000 a year with a doctor's prescription. I've been in Leona member for 20 years, and I love the podcast. Viva Portugal. So the good news is you can still get Ozempic and you still get weed.
Great.
Through the union. It's just you got to get a doctor's note, which these days is not all that hard to do. But I appreciate that, Flappy, for sharing that. And then another comment as well, TJ.DG6UK. I love the show. 23-year-old union carpenter. Learn from the old school guys. Listen every day on the way home from work. Thanks so much for listening, man. That's it. I just wanted to do a little shout out. I want to try to catch up with these shout outs because a lot of people are sending me messages, and it's not a really big machine here at TCL, right? Mm-hmm. It's a small machine. So that's it, Rob. How old is the company?
About 4 years.
Why'd you get into it?
I saw a growing market. I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur, so I had a...
What were you doing before?
I'm a licensed mechanic by trade. My wife and I had a food business, actually.
Catering or...?
Individually pre-prepped, pre-portioned meals. I
kind of like Hello or Fresh or whatever?
Similar, yeah. Okay, never frozen, always fresh.
Okay.
Delivered twice a week. It was good. It was a good market. We had some good sales in our first year. We were lucky, but... it wasn't my passion. I set it aside. I went to fire school. I'm a full-time firefighter now. So Fire Epoxy is my side hustle, which has turned into my full-time hustle. So I'm basically
working. So not doing the food, not doing the fire?
Not. I'm doing the fire still. I just came off shift this morning, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, after a 24-hour shift. And yeah, no more food. Switched over.
Wait a minute. After a 24-hour shift?
Yes.
So you haven't gone to sleep yet?
It wasn't a busy night.
So you've napped?
Correct.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. No, I'm just, as long as you're not in Buffalo.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Back in the 80s, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Fire every single day, right?
Yeah. No, that was Detroit, I think.
No, I thought it was Tonawanda or like whatever. It
could have been Buffalo too.
Yeah, yeah. It was just fire all the time, right?
Detroit was bad.
You used to watch whatever. You're watching Eyewitness News, shit like that, right? And it'd be like a fire. There's a fire. That's what the news story started off with.
Yeah.
So that's good. So fuck, man, you do a lot.
You do a lot. Yeah, I'm a dad. I have a young family as well. That's my favorite job. Irish twins, 3 and 4.
Wow.
Happy guy, great wife, helps me with the business, runs a lot of our social media, helped us build the brand that we're still trying to continue to build.
Yeah.
I got sidetracked, but back to the food thing. So I put it aside. I went to fire school. And then when I came back, I ended up getting a job at Toyota as a commercial fire, industrial fire. And it was okay. It was a stepping stone job. And I saw this opportunity in epoxy. It was online one day. I came across a page, Mint Garage, actually.
Yeah, they're going to be on the show.
Who's now a friend of mine, and he's our supplier for Smart Slat, which is the slat wall systems that we use and we install.
I'm trying to remember his name. I'm forgetting his name.
James.
James, that's it. Yep. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, James. So I had seen his page, and I kind of modeled our business or had this idea. I then went to go work for somebody else for a bit, kind of like a paid apprenticeship. Went part-time at my industrial fire job. Went to... learn the skills hands-on. And I was lucky enough to get my dream job, hired on the fire department, and about 6 months or 5 months after that.
Okay.
So I quit the epoxy, started my dream job, and then once I kind of got you know, my the roll things rolling and the hang of things there, then I went full time again with my my new epoxy venture, which has been we've been blessed.
That's been how many years now?
About 4 years.
4 years full time.
Yeah.
And then also the volunteer.
Correct.
You're a busy guy.
But, no volunteer, full time fire.
Full time fire.
Yeah. I'm professional.
So you're busy.
Very.
How do you juggle all that, man? You get tired?
I do, yeah. But I don't know. I have a good work ethic, and I was raised hard work. You know, these days that we're one, you can't live off one salary. No. Even though we're very blessed to make a good salary, it's not enough to live the life I want for my family. So,
how young are you, man?
33, 34.
Okay, all right. How many employees do you have?
So, four guys. Most are part-time. My dad's a full-time guy. And then the other guys that I have, they have their own business, but they're not very busy. So we kind of work together, and, you know, I help them out on bigger jobs and they help us out, and it works out well that way.
And I mean, I want to dive into the whole epoxy thing. And I know you also dabble in both sides of the fence. So you're doing a lot of commercial as much as you're doing a lot of residential.
Correct. So we're very busy in the residential world. We're really trying to break into the commercial market more.
Is it busy there? Like a lot of competition?
Yeah, especially in the GTA, a lot of competition. We're from a little bit more west, you know, Kitchener, Waterloo area, but we go all over Southern Ontario. Very busy with residential, like I say. You know, basements are getting big now too with floods. We use a vapor barrier epoxy, which if you, God forbid, you ever have another flood, it's not coming off. It's there forever.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's fully hermetic from both sides, which is watertight.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So yeah, it's growing market, but we really are trying to get, you know, more commercial, industrial, and something we're really focusing on currently is the agricultural market. So a lot of dairy, we do the dairy expo. We're doing it next month, actually, in Stratford. It's the largest dairy expo in Canada.
So you're talking about like the cattle barns and things like that?
Correct, yeah.
Oh,
so,
really?
So the area where the cows eat off of is called the manger, the feed aisle.
Okay.
So in the summer, if that area is breathing, concrete's always breathing hydrostatic pressure, as I'm sure you know.
Yep.
Their food intake will be less because of that humidity and that moisture. So epoxy is a hack for the farmer. We do 24 inches or 36 inches out from the feed manger. So where they put their food, it's not getting, the temperature is not being affected by the ground, therefore increasing food intake, therefore increasing milk production, therefore increasing profits, obviously.
I didn't know
so
that,
it's,
man.
It's big. And in the dairy, the milk rooms and where they keep the milk and where they have like the robots and everything, they love epoxy. The inspectors love to see it. It's very clean. It's food safe. Passes inspection very easily.
You're not doing speckles and flakes and swirls.
No swirls, really? But we'll do flake. Yeah, flake in robot really? Rooms. The flake is a very tough residential. Like it's a lifetime residential. When you're putting a robot over it all the time, there's like trowel on urethane and, you know, other products that are a little bit stronger and more geared towards the commercial and agricultural side of things.
You ever get any of the owners of the barns there just want you to write in moo and just put a bunch of O's all the way down the whole line or something like that?
We haven't done that, but just for the show last year, the Dairy Expo, we did a cool sample. We put the blue and white Dairy Farmers of Canada logo into a floor as our sample for the farmers.
That's pretty cool.
That was a hit. So yeah, we can do the logos. We can put a family name, whatever somebody's into. We can put it in, you know, sports team, whatever it is. We can brand it.
Some interesting things clients have asked you to do? Logo-wise?
Mostly sports teams, or I did one. It was an outdoor bar. Welcome to the best bar in town. You know, things like that, right?
That's pretty cool.
Nothing too crazy yet, but I'm sure it'll come.
Someone will come up with an idea.
Yes.
Is everyone still going through the stay tried and true gray, that kind of tone, or?
Yeah, so with
I want to tell people, don't ever go black.
Because of dust.
Not because of dust, especially if you're doing black in a workshop area. When you drop something, and camouflage. Black with flex, you can't see it. You can't find anything.
Yeah,
that's the reason why.
We have had people say, "Oh, I don't want epoxy because it's camouflage for nuts and bolts." But then I'll gladly bring them some big. You know, we do 16x16 sample. Drop anything on there and tell me you can't see it. But you're right, black is the hardest one to see. But
because I've done it before, that's a problem.
Okay, I always say black for dust and salt.
It looks good. It looks great.
But then
the moment you drop a nut or bolt or something that's tiny. Correct. It's just like you're literally on the floor like you're a blind man and just looking.
You almost
got to
get low and look at it straight on.
Profile wise, that's the problem about it. But no, sorry, I interrupted you. So yeah.
So color trends, the grays are big. We do like, you know, a color called Wombat or Nightfall are always big hits.
What does that look like?
It's like a dark gray. There's one that has like a white gray and black in it.
Okay.
There's lots of them on our Instagram. You'll see those ones. But traditionally, it's called Domino. It was black and white. That was always with a little bit of gray. That was always the most popular. And as years go by and, you know, trends change, things like that, now we're into this gray area. It's kind of like...
Literally.
Yes. It's kind of like with houses, and everyone wants, you know, the white countertop with the marble and the whitewash kitchens. It's kind of the new trend, I guess, but same thing with garages. And
are you seeing what I'm seeing in some applications is it gets a little slippery during the really, like we had that recent snowstorm,
mm-hmm.
and you bring in your vehicle and all of a sudden all the snow starts to fall off and melt and everything like that.
Yes.
It gets a little slippery. Are you guys just adding more grit into the mix?
So we have two methods of anti-slip that we use. So first off, we'll use an aluminum oxide. So there's different grits. We use a 36 grit aluminum oxide. We actually mix it into the polyaspartic top coat. And then once that's out and we roll it out, it's embedded into it. Once it's rolled out, we'll then go over with silica sand. There's different grits as well. Depending on, you know, what kind of grip they're looking for, we can go very, very aggressive with like a 20 grit silica sand. We throw that like chicken feed into the coating, and then we'll go over that and we'll embed that again, because what can happen over time is if it's sitting on top, it gets worn away. So, yeah. You know, first year grip is great. Year two, not so much. Year three, you got a hazard, right? So we always embed it back in, roll over it, and now it's there. 90% of it's there forever. You might still lose, you know, some over time from wear.
But I don't want to name names, but obviously the big box stores will have those kits.
Yes.
Which, first of all, I don't recommend anybody do it. I think you should be hiring a pro to do it. What size grit would they be using in those kits?
There is no grit in those kits.
There's no grit in those kits.
We put down... for every pound of flake we put down, it's 4 to 5 square feet on average. You can come, guys,
every
go six.
Pound.
And they only include a half a pound of flake for the entire kit.
I know.
So all
you
this
don't have enough.
I'm just going to go off and just kind of touch on some of that to educate some people on those kits as well. So those Rust-Oleum kits you're buying for $200, $250 at Canadian Tire.
You said the name exactly. I didn't want to go down that.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But, I hate them. I'm sorry, but I hate the kits.
We do so many repairs of those kits. So yeah. Homeowner, you know, wants to do it themselves. They see these kits. They think it's a good deal. They buy one. They spend a day or two doing it. Some of them will actually acid etch it, which for prep, which is it's CSP level one, concrete surface profile level one.
Yeah.
We're aiming for a 3 or 4 for our applications. 2, maybe, you know, it's okay, but you want to go for a 3 or 4. Most people don't even prep those floors. Those floors,
you have to. You gotta open up the pores of the concrete.
Exactly. That's the most important part of 90% of the job.
What happens, Rob, later on if you don't do that? You'll get the flaking?
Delamination of
that's
the product.
What you get.
Yeah. And delamination is terrible. And especially with any moisture. Moisture is the enemy of these coatings.
Yeah.
There's hardly any hydrostatic protection in those kits. Those kits are 15% solids epoxy. So that means 85% is a solvent. The products we use are 100%. The epoxy is 100% solid. And the lowest poly that we'll use is an 85% solid. So only 15% would evaporate. And we're actually using now a 98.5% polyaspartic, which we do pay a bit more for, but where we put it, it stays. It's not evaporating when we leave as it cures.
See, there's lots of products in the big box stores that I don't agree with, right? Mm-hmm. And they try to design it for DIYers. The problem is that you'll get the DIYers doing it because obviously they'll get a quote from you or anybody else that does it professionally.
Yes.
And then they'll be like, well, that's astronomical. I don't want to do that. That's ridiculous. So-and-so is selling it for a fraction of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then they do it. Then they have issues. After the first, usually winter. It's like one year. Then
exactly.
It looks beautiful, brand spanking new, smells like styrofoam. I get it.
Yep.
But after that first 1 year seasonal stuff, it starts to fall apart. And now they have nothing but negative things to say about epoxy. And that's not the truth. The truth is you guys weren't professional applicators or installers. You didn't prep things correctly. And you guys went the cheap route. And voila, this is what happens.
You get what you pay for. So no prep is done. They only come with a one layer system. That's a single layer epoxy.
Yeah, I know.
What we install is an epoxy base coat, full broadcast flake. So the first coat is 10 mil, 10 thousandths of an inch. Your second mil is 15 to 20, sometimes even more depending on what size the flake are. So that's say 20 thousandths of an inch. And then we're doing a top coat. We aim for another 10 thousandths. Sometimes it's down to 8, the polyaspartic. So now we're having, the minimum we do is a three layer system. Wow. 35 to 40 thousandths of an inch compared to 2,000 7 inch or 3 with the big box store
no
product.
No protection whatsoever.
It's apples to oranges. Epoxy, for one, no epoxy, no matter what it says, UV stable or whatever, no epoxy is 100% UV stable. Polyaspartic is. So you're getting a product that the sun is going to wear down over time.
It goes
it will change
yellow,
color. Exactly.
And then it actually, it once it starts to deteriorate, it goes back to clear. But now the protection is completely gone. Exactly. So now it's just a waiting game on how much it's just going to attack the base coat.
Exactly.
And then you're going to get the flaking. It's done. Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind AquaStop Waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, AquaStop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and AquaStop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with AquaStop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's apples to oranges. I shouldn't even call it epoxy. It's honestly, it's floor paint. It's
floor paint with a small bag of
a flake.
Flake. That's all it is.
And it's not even enough flake to give it a decent partial broadcast, we call it, which is where, you know, it looks speckly.
Yeah.
It's barely enough to do that. You might get, you know, a good solid 200 square feet of partial flake, which is just for looks, whereas the flake that we're installing is actually an extra layer of build to the coating, which is increasing the longevity and the lifetime, and, you know, it gives it some grip as well, a little bit more porous. So there's so many benefits to doing it right, like anything in life.
No, exactly, right? And it is, like, what's the price point difference? I can't remember the last time I checked that kit. What, I think it was like $200.
I want to say $249, something, and they go like on that. For $199, maybe.
For a single car garage?
Yeah, I think they say it will go up to 400 square feet, but you're really pulling it tight at that point.
Yeah. And then what, like, so when you get a professional and you're coming in there, you're charging by square foot?
Correct. Depends on what it is. Like, if we do a porch, it's usually a flat rate because it's so small, we can't make a profit by charging square footage.
Got it.
You know, so or a countertop. Because
with the porch,
like,
you got to do the face or the corners. You got to.
Correct.
Yeah, there's a little bit
and
more.
And you might
work.
Only have 40 or 50 square feet.
Yeah.
And if we're charging $10 a square foot or less, which is what we charge,
it's not worth it. It's a business, not a hobby.
Exactly.
It. Yeah.
So square footage price, with a lot of competition in the GTA, there's guys doing it as low as, you know, $6, $5. But. You get what you pay for.
Money.
You get what you pay for. Yeah, because the cost of material is between $2 to $4 a square foot, depending on if it's a 3 or 4 layer system, you know, what product you're using. It's a tough market here in the GTA. We're a little bit luckier to be a bit more west, where it's not quite as competitive, and we can charge accordingly and fair, but, you know, you can still turn a small profit. And
what I want to, like, I like smacking clients around, right? Because they are the dumbest people in the room when it comes to construction. I'm sorry. I'll say it. You won't say it because you got to still deal with them. I don't have to deal with them. But it's a finished floor treatment. They never argue about spending $20 a square on walnut flooring inside their house. They never argue about mosaic tiles or marble that are costing them $30 or $40 to install, right? Mm-hmm. But the moment you get into a garage and epoxy or a porch or whatever it is, they just don't want to justify that to do it correctly costs this much. And it's not a whole lot in comparison to other types of finished flooring. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. When it's just about educating the client to understand that this is still a finished. Trust me, nothing is better than walking into your garage, most of the time seasonally speaking, not including winter, barefoot, and walking on a clean epoxy floor to get to your car, to get to the shelves, to get to your little workshop bench or whatever it is, right?
Yep.
It's the best, right?
It's
you're not outside. It's another nice room. It's an extension of your house. That's what I like about it.
I was just going to say, it really does make an extension of your home.
Yeah.
Especially when you go into, you know, the sidewalls, nice paint, maybe some slat wall. There really is a lot of potential in the average garage that people just don't see. And once they see it, there we are. That's our business.
And then we got a little bit of Kevin Bacon going on because obviously Antonio from Aqua Stop. Mm-hmm. And then also, Mint's going to be on the show, I think, next week or the week after. I can't remember. Perfect. He's scheduled to be on it. And then who else do we know each other? Like, how do we? Small world, man.
Those are the main guys, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more connections too, because like you said,
how do you know Aquastock? How do you?
Antonio reached out to me to repair a floor that another contractor had not done correctly. So it was a metallic. No top coat was used. I'm not going to mention any names.
No.
We don't look at anybody as competition in the business either. Everyone's our colleague. You know, there's so much work out there. Just got to find it, right? So anyways, we did this repair for him. We went in, we kept the original design. We sanded it, and we did a new clear coat and then a top coat over top of that, just because it was not the best finish.
So you had to redo the whole floor?
Not the whole floor. The customer did like the design.
Okay.
So we were able to leave the old design. We go in, we scuff it up with like an 80 grit, 120 grit. And then we go over it with a clear epoxy flood coat at 30 square feet a gallon. So a super thick, nice to bring that gloss back up and to get rid of all the imperfections in the floor. And then we torch that, which levels it all out, makes it very nice, no bubbles. And then for that floor, we did a wet on wet application. So while that epoxy is still wet, we spray a top coat onto it that actually cures with the epoxy. So it was
for what purpose? So then it binds it.
The reason we do it is in smaller jobs when we have to travel. We use a compatible wet on wet product rather than coming back the next day, whole another trip, and then doing a dry on wet application with a microfiber. It's the same product, but certain products you can apply wet on wet. So it just saves us a day to come back.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And we're able to give the customer a lower price for just as good of a job. Especially this was like 115 or 120 square foot basement utility room. So
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just as good, and it's just saving us one more trip.
What are you using machinery wise to grind?
So we use, I prefer Husqvarna grinders. I'm a big Husqvarna fan. I like brand name stuff.
Yep.
When it comes to business, I like to buy it once and buy it right. So when I started with a PG280, which is a very small Husqvarna. I think it's a 12-inch or 10-inch grinder. Good starter grinder, but it's...
Push. Still a push, right?
All of ours are push still. We're not at the remote control or ride-on level. There's some big six-figure numbers into those ones. Kind of outgrew that after almost, you know, our first season or before the end of the first season. It was taking us like 5 hours to do a double car garage for prep. Like it was it was our Achilles heel.
Man, the first time I ever did it, I did my own.
With a hand grinder?
A 7-inch.
I've done it with a 4.5, and it's...
I had to change my gloves because the actual grinder was getting too hot to touch with gloves on. Cord was getting hot.
I know the struggle. We all did our first garage on our hands and knees. Well, most of us, right? And and I was lucky enough to make an investment pretty close into, you know, starting the business. I knew I had to get some equipment, and I bought a regular vacuum. It's called a Centaur. It didn't have the bag system. It's a Canadian company, actually. Great. It's a great vacuum, but it was a good beginner vacuum.
Like a dust control that's got a different container or something?
Yeah, it has a HEPA. So it doesn't have, we call it a Longo Pack, which is the bag on the bottom, like the Husqvarna grinders have, where you can just tie the zip ties, get rid of the dust, and don't breathe any of it in. This one, to empty it, you'd have to actually dump it out like a shop vac. Or you could put a bag in there.
But it's separating it really well.
Correct, yeah, it's a HEPA. So you need to have a HEPA, the kid.
No, for sure.
A rigid shop vac, again, everyone starts with it. I still have one in my trailer, but it's good for your first two or three jobs. And once you make some money, it's time to go get a real HEPA vac, right?
I was a full respirator in the cloud. You couldn't see me at the face of the garage.
Bad, eh?
But I had the respirator on, but it was not safe. And I was like, yeah, I wanted to try it out. You learn a lot.
Yeah.
You learn a lot real quick.
Builds character.
I don't know if it builds character, but it's hard. The other thing is I want to share is, I don't know if it's applicable to you guys. I've got a show coming up. We're going to do a safety show with the White Cap guys. Mm-hmm. They're going to come on. And in my prep, we were talking about some fatigue with hands. And they were talking about how mostly SDS jackhammer guys, they're getting white knuckles in their hands from the vibration of the actual tool.
Mm-hmm.
And that white knuckle, when it stays in your hands, right? And I only bring this up because some of those larger grinding machines, they have similar vibration technology. Yes. And it doesn't absorb in the machine, it absorbs in your hands. And if that white knuckle stays on your hands after you've been finishing operating the machine, that's actually nerve damage on your hands.
Really?
And it's actually contributing. It's no different than tinnitus and having a constant ring going on in your ear because you're always over the limit of 85 decibels, mm-hmm. right? So they started teaching me that, and I started thinking, yeah, you always get white knuckle when you're operating heavy SDS or jackhammer or core drilling. And then I started thinking, these grinders, they're good, but they vibrate mm-hmm. and they grind down a lot, right? So I don't know if that's applicable there, but it's just something to pay attention to.
It'd be something for me to look into.
Yeah, sure, no, we're going to do the show. We're going to dive into all of that stuff, right?
Perfect.
And we talked about hearing. We talked about the hands. We talked about different... there's going to be a bunch of stuff that we're going to be discussing. And there's products out there to be aware of it. And then they also told me a little side note, though, that did you know that if you're driving on the highway with your windows down... Mm-hmm. That's higher than 85 decibels.
And I think at 85 decibels, you only have 12 minutes or something like that.
Before they say anywhere from 10 to 12.
Okay.
But the problem, here's the thing, is that it's not like you roll up the windows after 10 minutes and go, okay, this is fine. And then you got to wait a full day before you can go back.
To 10 more minutes at 85 decibels without damage. Wow.
So basically keep the window up. And then it's also contributed to AirPods and people listening to music too loud. But we're in construction, right? So all of a sudden, it's just machinery. Mm-hmm. And there isn't a single tool out there that's not below 85.
Nothing.
They're all over 85. Doesn't matter what tool it is.
PPE is so important.
Especially in your world, because you're dealing with certain machinery, but then also some dust. You know, like there's... You got to be careful. I get it when you're younger. We're all supermen and women. I get it. But it's going to catch up to you if you're not careful.
Yeah, right? We don't want silicosis in our lungs, man. That's not good.
No, it's not, right? And you actually are taking the bulk of it because you're taking the cream of the concrete.
Correct.
Right? And So that's why it's important for the HEPA and then suck all that stuff out, right?
Exactly.
But then also, even with the machines, listen, I'm a fan of Husqvarna until they started telling me that they're going to be outfitting all their tools to battery now. I don't know how that's going to work.
They've already came out with a battery vacuum.
Have you tried it?
I have not.
Have they convinced you? Have they showed you a grinding... Floor grinder,
yeah, battery? It works excellent, but it's only for certain applications. Like you only have each battery, I think, is about an hour. It comes with two big batteries.
Average, it takes you how long to do a floor, double car?
We can grind with our new grinder in about an hour or less. Yeah, we're very efficient. I can go back to our grinder thing now. So we went to a PG450.
Okay.
Was our second last grinder we got, which is... 16-inch, I want to say.
Okay.
16-inch grinder. So again, it was way better than the PG280, but it was still too slow compared to the big boy stuff, right? So then this past season, we went to bought a PG540, which is about, I think it weighs about 500 pounds.
Why is it called PG?
That's just the product line that Husqvarna uses. I don't know exactly. Okay. They actually just changed the name because Husqvarna was recently purchased Dymatic. And they've also purchased Blastrac. So they own both of those companies now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And as well as HTC. Husqvarna is buying up everything. Any competitor, they just buy them up. So the new PG540 is called an H5, I believe. And it's just an HTC machine, but with Husqvarna branding.
That's all it is.
They're just taking over. It's all made overseas too, unfortunately.
But you were saying the 550 is better?
540, correct.
540.
Yeah, that's the one we have now.
And it works nice.
It's excellent. It's the exact same as the new PG5, but it just doesn't have the water sprayer kit on it for polishing. But you can get that for mine anyways. You just have to get the kit. So, yeah, then we have an S13 HEPA vacuum and an S26. There's also an S36, which are big. The S26 has two HEPAs on it and a dust thing. So we're able to, I always tell clients, we capture 90-95% of the dust.
There's going
to
be a little bit
of dust. You can't lie to them and say it's dust-free because it's definitely not.
Like, never.
But I try to make them understand that 5% of the dust that we make is still a lot of dust because we're taking off sometimes 3 or 4 40-pound bags of dust from one double or triple-car garage. Depending on how soft it is. Like you probably know this, but the softer the concrete, the harder the bond you want to use on it. Cause you don't want to go too, you know, you don't want to take too much off.
Yeah.
And on a hard concrete, you use a soft bond. So
There's
scratch tests you can do. We kind of just know, we can kind of feel it. And after our first pass, we know whether we need to change our diamond segments or not.
What are you're about an eighth or 2 mil? How much are you taking off?
It's about a mil, I'd say.
About a mil, right? Yeah. Okay.
Just enough to get through the cream layer and expose that surface profile and, you know, open up some pores like you had mentioned earlier.
That's about damaged concrete? You guys get into the world of fixing damaged concrete?
We do, yeah. We
pitted
do.
Pitted stuff or whatever?
Yeah, almost every garage we do, if it's over 10 years old, is going to have some issues. So when it comes to cracks, we do what's called chasing and stitching. So you see the crack, we chase it with our diamond saw.
Open it up.
4.5 inch, we open it up, yep. Exactly. Any of those loose parts in the corner, you know, we get rid of that. And then every 12 to 18 inches, we put a stitch across it. We go cross. So that just prevents further spreading of it.
You cut it. Correct. Stitch.
Yeah, just a two inch stitch.
That makes sense.
And then we fill those up. We have an epoxy gel, we have a polyurethane, and we have an instant cement. So those are our three kind of tools in our arsenal.
You're just gobbing it on there. You're leaving it a little bit raised.
Correct.
So it can get grinded down, right?
We have a product that we have to do that for. Okay. That you do have to grind it, the polyurethane. But our epoxy gel, it doesn't shrink. So once we put it on, you don't go as tight, you got to go tight, but you know.
But you still trowel it.
Correct. We'll just use a little 5-inch putty knife to install it most of the time, unless there's some major stuff where we have to use an actual trowel. And then we can actually coat that while it's wet.
It'll bond here.
Yeah, it's a great product. It's an epoxy product itself. So you can put epoxy over it or polyaspartic. That one's by MPC.
Attention subcontractors and skilled trades. Are you looking for your next big opportunity? 2x2 Construction is expanding and is on the hunt to grow our top-tier network of professionals. Whether you're a carpenter, plumber, or roofer, etc., if you can deliver top-quality craftsmanship, offer competitive pricing, and your communication is where we shine, we want to hear from you. At 2x2 Construction, we value strong partnerships. From multiplexes to garden suites, we're all about building better together, and we want you to be a part of it. Reach out today at info@2x2construction.ca or connect with us on Instagram at 2x2construction. Join the 2x2 Construction team where great work meets great people. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
MPC's great.
You gotta remember, I did my epoxy 16, 17 years ago.
How's it holding up?
Yeah, this industry is like completely changed. Like
the new products coming out every
are
day.
Insane. Yeah. Now. Yeah, they're absolutely insane.
We've actually switched recently to a new product because it's just as good. It's a higher solid and the price point is the same. So it was almost a no brainer for us to switch. It's a Canadian made product as well. Shout out to our suppliers as Cromology Canada. They're industry leaders.
What's the dude's name?
George and Paul.
Yeah, I know those guys. I've actually been trying to get them on the show because I wanted to talk the science behind all this shit. I wanted to get into this whole, because I liked what they were doing.
Yeah,
they started building this whole thing. Plus, it's a cool name. Simple as that. Cromology. Like, good. I mean, just like, this is fucking great, right? So I met them 2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, they've been in business since 2020 and they have taken over the entire industry. They have Burlington, well. Yeah. Kitchener, Toronto, Ottawa, Vancouver, Saudi Arabia.
I didn't know they're talks going of, all over
there's,
there.
There's talks of them going elsewhere. I don't know exactly yet if it's for sure, but I'll just mention that there's talks of them going to Europe as well. They're taking over, and we're so lucky to have them as partners. I have another great partner too. I'll shout out to in London, another guy that I used to use. It's just simply price point and convenience. Cromology has everything you'll ever need in stock. You've never seen a warehouse. Like any color flake I need, doesn't matter how many boxes, what size, if it's micro flake, they have everything. They have thousands of square feet of millions of dollars of material in stock at all times. They're industry leaders and they know, they've installed floors, right? It's not like someone's just selling it.
They come from that. They come from the industry.
Exactly.
So they get it. And that's what you want from a supplier.
Exactly.
And they'll understand the problems that you're going to have. Yeah.
A lot of Canadian products. 90% of what we use is made in Canada. We take great pride in that with all this crap going on right now. It means a lot to us, and we, if we have a choice to buy Canadian or foreign product, we're going to buy Canadian up to a certain price point, right? You know what I mean? Yeah, like if it's astronomically more, at what point do you say, you know, you gotta,
it's go not with a hobby, this it's a one? business.
Exactly.
But if it's
you know, a little bit more or whatever it is, Canadian product every time, and we take great pride in that.
You ever bring in a box of the Rust-Oleum crap from the big box and go, listen, can you guys do me a favor, color match this?
No.
Fuck with them?
No, never. Never.
They probably just get out. Just get out. Take that shit with you. Get out.
We don't want that.
No, they're solid guys. It's great. The other thing that I learned recently, too, I try to remember who told me this, is you can't put salt on concrete within the first 3 years of concrete.
Anytime, really.
Even after 3 years, it'll still eat away at concrete?
It will, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This is where polyaspartic comes into play. Epoxy is also not.
I was told 3 years. So really, yeah.
Yeah, the way I've always been taught is it's not good for any concrete.
Any concrete. Any the salt concrete. Just eats away at it.
It eats away. It'll take the cream layer right out, and it'll expose all the aggregate and make it sharp. We repair all the time from salt damage. Epoxy again, it's a great product, but there's strengths and weaknesses in this industry of different products. Polyaspartic is not only 100% UV stable; it's fully salt proof. So when
the salt won't do anything.
Won't do anything. Like I have it on my porch and my garage, and it's fully salt proof. It's the same thing as the garages we do, where it's epoxy, flake, poly. When we do an outdoor coating, we do poly base, flake, poly.
Okay.
The benefit of epoxy is it's better against hydrostatic pressure. So a poly Sparta can only hold down 4 to 5% moisture content, where an epoxy is 7 to 9%. And then a moisture vapor barrier epoxy is up to 20%, which it will cure in this glass of water. It's amazing stuff.
Well, because I mean, concrete in itself, you got to think under the slab or the size of the slab before the face of the slab is still absorbing moisture.
Always.
It's just always doing that. Always. That's what concrete does. Mm-hmm. So you got to be conscious of that.
So one thing we do, everybody should do this in the industry. If someone's listening out there that's not doing it, do it. Get yourself a Tramex CMEX5 is the digital concrete moisture tester.
Okay.
It's not cheap. It's like, it's under $1,500, but it's the most important tool.
Are you scanning or you
point? Scan. So you can drill, but you don't want to do damage to someone that's maybe not going to go with you, right? You don't want to go and drill a hole. So what we do is a surface test. It has, I think, 8 or 10 pins on it, spring pins, and you put it down and you test different spots. And then at least you have some peace of mind to know what range you're in, if a vapor barrier is going to be required or not. Because again, you don't want to do these. Our thing is quality. We do the job once. We stand behind our warranty.
You don't want to come back.
So I want to make sure I'm doing the right job. I want when they see it, their neighbors see it, I want them to tell our name, and that's how businesses works. And you know, we have over 50 5-star reviews, a perfect 5-star Google review. We take immense pride in that. So we do our testing beforehand. It's peace of mind, and we don't have to worry about ever coming back or delamination ever being an issue simply because of that tool.
So then, what's the additional cost if you have to get a vapor barrier before you get started on?
We pay about, you know, $50 more a kit for a 3-gallon kit. Okay. We don't charge the client. It
makes no sense.
No,
it's peace of mind for us.
Yeah. And we might use, say, an average garage 2 kits, so it costs us an extra $100.
It makes sense
for them to be happy forever. And it's they got a 20-year, 25-plus-year floor in residential application. To us, it's a no-brainer.
You ever get a client who calls you guys out and the concrete is just way too damaged? You can't, like, this has got to be broken up.
Never. I've never met a slab I wasn't able to fix, ever.
How bad of a slab are we talking about?
Like the worst you've ever seen.
Like loose concrete?
Loose, cracked, holes.
And you're still repairing that?
So what we do, we have another product. So there's a product called Terrafuse, another Canadian company. Shout out Terrafuse. They're out in Calgary.
Okay.
They make, I don't know the science behind it. I think it's a urethane-based cement. I'm not sure exactly the science behind it, but it's cementitious, but it's not actually cement.
Is it made here?
I believe it's out west.
But in Canada, though?
Correct, yes.
Wow, okay.
This stuff, I can grind it after 20 minutes. So what we do is we make
How thick can you get with it? How much?
Up to maybe a half inch.
Okay.
But if you mix it like a slurry, then it'll be a bit longer, but then you can trowel it on and you can fill all those low spots. There is guys in the industry too that will use like a quickcrete, you know, self-leveler. I personally don't like it as much because it holds more moisture longer. So now you got to wait longer before you can come back and coat it.
And it has to bond with the sub concrete.
Correct.
Straight, right? Correct.
And it's, you know, like concrete should have 28 days. It's similar to the quickcrete if you're going to coat it. But our business is in and out. We're booked up.
No,
we need to get in and we need to get out. So we spend a bit more on this product and now we're out. We're still base coating it and flaking that same day. Most of our garages we do are 2-day. We will do single day garages if the moisture content is low enough to use a poly base coat. So we're able to do.
You're getting everything done in 1 day on average.
Correct.
Like you're starting first thing in the morning, 7 o'clock, and then start grinding and prepping.
And we don't even start usually manning until 8:30 because we've had complaints from neighbors about generators.
Yeah, but technically speaking, you can start making noise at 7.
Is it 7?
7.
Again, we just try
to
be
7 Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday, nothing on Sunday.
We try to be as respectful as possible to the neighbor. I know it's kind of ridiculous, but we've had people mention it, and we just don't want to.
You don't want to start the fight.
It's exactly.
So it. Sorry, sir. So sorry. So sorry.
So we'll start at 8 or 8:30, and we'll still be hopefully done grinding by 11. Is a, kind of the goal, and then we'll have our base coat done and flake, and then if it's a poly base coat, after an hour or two, we're scraping that, and we're doing a top coat. We're out of there by 5 o'clock. Brand new, nice garage.
Wow. Ready to drive on.
Three guys, we show up.
The next day, ready to drive on.
I'd say 48 hours. So
okay.
Most of our products are 24-hour light foot traffic, 48 heavy foot traffic and vehicle traffic, and it's a 7-day full cure. I tell people, wait as long as you can. You know,
let it fully cure.
Exactly.
then you can do whatever you want to it.
Exactly.
Bring the car in, drop the oil, spill the jerry can, mm-hmm. whatever, all that crap, right?
Another plus too, as polyaspartic is fully oil stable and fuel won't hurt it.
You just wipe it up. You got to soak it up. That's the thing about it.
Exactly. If gas sits on it, so if say there was a steady leak for a month at a time, it could get soft, but as soon as you wipe it up, it's like self-healing and it will be hard again. It's a pretty great product. And even chlorine, we use it around pools. Things like chlorine.
No issues with
no chlorine. Issues. There's some of the cleaning products that they use in the agricultural applications are, you know, some tough chlorines and wow. It holds up. It's amazing stuff.
What are, like, I was going to, you expand it now or are you just focusing on the floor? Are you bringing in subs to take care of, like, because I've been noticing that once people get the floor down, mm-hmm. they're like, well, let's put some garage cabinets here. Let's put a little storage units and the slat walls, things like that. Are you handling those or?
Yes, we are, but we're working with Smart Slat now. Okay. So the goal is for this season is to have Smart Slat come in, do the installations. We handle the floor and then any storage or things like that we'll do. We're doing a garage in April, so we're doing all the storage, some slat wall. We're doing the painting for them as well. We do their stem walls of the foundation, major concrete repair, and then underneath the garage is another garage, and all the roof is deteriorating into rusted rebar. So we'll even go as far as putting up some scaffolding down there, and then we'll use this Terrafuse product. It's called Terrafuse Structural, and we'll even repair that.
The ceiling?
It's actually structural. So what we do is we use Tapcons. We grind it all off. We grind off all the rust, and we'll spray a zinc on there, which is a rust inhibitor.
So that it won't continue the rust. Yeah,
correct. We stop as much as we possibly can. If there's anything really bad, we'll cut out and replace it. But we try to leave it, just get it clean, and then we'll put Tapcons in, and then we'll put wire around the Tapcons as like a mesh. So we're giving it some structural bite. This particular garage already has been repaired with I-beams, so we're not worried about structural. It's mostly just, you know, it's an aesthetic thing at this point.
Yeah.
And plus there's, you know, stuff falling every once in a while, like rocks and stuff. So, we'll do anything in the garage to get
is
back to it.
Is it residential or is it commercial?
Residential, yeah. We'll
they've
do
got
the
a garage underneath their garage.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But then, I'm trying to think of what would have... So was there too much moisture going into the slab on the top?
Yes, salt from years and years.
That's what it was going on.
And because there was no epoxy, nothing to stop the salt, and the concrete's always breathing, you can see from underneath all the white salt from years and years of penetration.
Yeah.
Then it rots the rebar. The rebar expands. The rebar pops the concrete. Here we are 30 years later, maybe even more for this particular house.
Beautiful house. And you were able to repair all that?
Yes.
And then you epoxied the ceiling underneath?
Yeah, we'll use a poly underneath just because it's faster. Do it two layers. Make it all nice and gray when we leave, and again we'll have that done in a day.
How are you applying the flakes on the ceiling?
No flakes. Sorry, no flakes there. Flakes are going in the top garage.
God, I know. I could picture a guy like trying to throw the rice at a wedding or something like that, right? Like trying to make it stick up there or something.
Hey, if we do it on walls, it's the same thing. We just get down and whip it on the wall.
No, the floor and the wall. Yeah, the little knee wall on the garage floors. That's kind of like playing handball or something like that, right?
Or some guys will use a little trowel and just kind of have a pile and just as you go.
And whatever's loose, you just sweep it or vacuum?
So we'll try to use as much as we can and keep moving the pile.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll sweep it, and then we'll vacuum it, and then we have our nice wall. And we'll even go an inch out, so then our next coat goes over top of that, and that's how you get that corner bonded nice and fully hermetic, which is watertight. It's what you want.
But now the guys are, I saw on some of your posts there, the swirls and things like that.
Metallics.
How does the whole metallic thing work? Is that just different layers that you got to work?
Yes.
In the application process, right?
Yes. So usually they're a three or four layer system, those ones. So we'll go in. I always use an MVB on those floors, a vapor barrier, all the time. Really? Peace of mind.
Yeah.
You can go in before with the MVB, you can pull it flat with a squeegee. So that will fill all your pinholes, things like that. This is after preparation, obviously, and a good vacuum.
Yeah.
And then you do a flood coat to fill anything else out. And then you can do, we call it the money coat, which is your design. So your customer picks some colors. White's very popular with golds and things like that in it, and then that's all one pour. So we'll do mostly our whites, and we'll kind of pull it back because you have to, once it's poured out, you have a bit more time with epoxy. It's high, it's always getting hot, right?
It's activating itself.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
So once you pour it out, you kind of move that, and as you move back, you kind of try to keep the same design, but you're constantly, it's the same. It's all one pour, the money coat, and then the next day we'd come back. And then we do a top coat. We use like a nano ceramic top coat now. It's all new technologies, kind of the same stuff that you're using on cars. incredible. It's very expensive, but the technology behind it is
like kind of like self sealing.
Correct.
It's almost like a self, like it basically goes where it's supposed to go.
Yes. And we apply it with a sprayer, and then we have a guy that follows with the microfiber mop.
What's the consistency of it?
Liquid. It's like water. It's really probably zero viscosity.
Wow.
It's a very cool product. So yeah, then, that's a 4-layer system. That's your average. It's becoming very popular in houses, residential things. The Miami people love it in their garages. It hasn't quite hit that area here. Our climate,
I've seen it up here.
Our climate isn't the best for that in a garage. Like, in all honesty, I talk people out of it because I don't want to sell them a product that isn't exactly what they want.
Because it's created right then and there, right? Like the design and everything.
Yes.
Like you can show them a sample, but it's not going to be identical to your sample.
And it's hard to, so you can do an aluminum oxide in a top coat, or you can use aliphatic urethane, which has suspended aluminum in it, and it's a non-slip. But in the winter, when you have that slush on your boots, if you're using your garage as a garage, I don't want to sell you, especially if you have kid. I don't want you to have accidents in your garage because you wanted this design. I want to sell you what's going to last and what you're going to be happy with.
But you can't put the silicone on top.
You don't want to throw sand into a metallic design.
Attention contractors and construction professionals. Do you feel like your expenses are way too high? Imagine cutting your spending by 28%. At Schooley Mitchell, they dig deep to help you save on essential expenses that could be impacting your bottom line. Their risk-free analysis allows you to concentrate on your trade while they find those savings for you. Don't let extra expenses keep you from achieving the success you deserve. Reach out today to schedule your risk-free analysis and unlock your savings. Find them at www.schooleymitchell.com/office/AEGIUGGIO/about. Or reach out to them at erica.jugio@schooleymitchell.com. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I mean, you could. It's just
it's going to take away from the design.
People want it glassed out. They want that. They want that shine, that gloss.
I'm still on the fence about those designs because I know the traditional flakes way, right? The other thing that I did early on in my career was I did splashes of paint, right? Which, by the way, I don't recommend for the exact same reason with the bolts, right? Mm-hmm. So I just thought, okay, hang on a sec. Let me just do these like splashes of paint as if it was like big globs of drops of paint and they were just splashing everywhere, right?
Yep.
Aesthetically, it looks great. But you drop something on that floor, you can't find shit because your base is black and now you got a bunch of color everywhere and it splashes of paint. And literally, I don't care how sharp your vision is, you're going to have a hard time finding something on the floor. It looks great, but I would not recommend it.
They're the kind of floors for a guy to park his Ferrari on. You know what I mean? And we'll put a
because there's never any nuts and bolts.
Exactly. That's exactly it. If people are using their garage, if I see a snowblower in there, I'm going to tell them that you want flake. Even if they try to get me there to spend twice as much and do a metallic, I don't want to sell you the wrong product. I don't care if I'm not making as much off it. I want to sell you the right product. I want something that you're not going to call me in a year later and say, why did we do this? How can we make this non-slip? Well, it's too late now, right? Like we got to.
You can't go metallic vertically, right?
No, because it's wet for so long. What the metallic is it's moving and it's always, it flows. Like depending on the grade of the floor, it's always flowing. It's a very cool product, but you can leave at nighttime, you come back in the morning, you take a picture, your floor is totally different. Totally different. Like it'll blow your mind.
Really?
Yes.
What's going on there? Like artificial lighting and then natural?
No, it's just flowing. There's low spots and the colors are just, they're always, we call it letting it melt. They're always melting, right? They're always moving. So what you put down in the morning, you're going to come back, it's going to be different.
So how much longer does it take to fully cure itself?
It's a 12-hour cure for most epoxies, 12 to 24 hours.
So that's why, right?
It's not like a poly where it's flashed off in a half hour and we're scraping it 2 hours later. Epoxy it moves a lot. And I forgot to mention the epoxy that we use for a metallic floor is not the same as we're using on a garage floor. It's a different
application.
It's a low viscosity. It's almost zero viscosity. It flows like water. It's very cool. And it you can use regular epoxy, but you're not going to get the flow of the design, which is, you know, we can do so much as artists. I consider myself when doing those floors, it's not a floor, it's art. Like we think about everything and where we're going to put color and what angle we want to do it on. Like there is some, you know, creative design to it. But if you use the metallic or the low viscosity metallic compared to the regular epoxy, your floor is going to be, just that much better. You know, it's what you want to use for sure.
And so back to the UV, Mother Nature is still fine. It still deteriorates a tiny bit over time. but not the way you used to in the early days.
Correct, but it's still, depending on the quality of the epoxy.
It's not 100%
protected. A white floor will always turn yellow unless it's a full poly floor. And there is a metallic poly out in the States now. It hasn't quite hit us yet, but as long as you're using a really good quality white with a good quality pigment, because that's a big part of it too, is the quality of the pigment. There's liquid and powder pigments. And then you seal that with a poly top coat, you're really going to slow down the UV damage.
Okay.
Because the UV is poly is UV resistance, but yeah. It's just, you will over time, if you had like a garage apron, this is your apron, this is your garage door, and it was a white metallic, you are going to see amber after a couple of years. Yeah. You might get lucky. It might not be till 5 years.
Yeah. Depending on the position of your home.
Exactly.
And how much sun you get in the afternoon kind of idea, exactly. Right?
Yep.
That's what's going to dictate. But you are going to see that separation between where the garage door is, because obviously the concrete always extends past the garage door.
Correct.
So just clients need to just be aware of that. That
yes.
This might happen, right?
But on the floors we do, they don't do that, because we're covering that. If we are using epoxy, we're doing a full flake broadcast. We call it flaking to rejection. We're flaking to the point that no more flake is going to stick. It's that thick. And then we're going over that. So now that epoxy's covered. And now we're going over that with 100% UV stable top coat. Our floors don't turn yellow. I'm so just saying, I was just using the example. If you did a white metallic,
yeah,
with what you need is epoxy, then you would see it.
Yeah.
Or if you see a floor that was done 10 years ago, before people were using polyaspartics, guys were using epoxy top coats. There's still guys doing it. It's very frowned upon in the industry.
Like, you're basically painting the base and then you're just covering it up with epoxy.
Yeah, and there's no UV protection there at all. And it's
going to wear down from salt. It looks good for the first season.
Yeah, if you're lucky. I've seen floors that after a few months turn totally yellow.
Really?
Yeah, with lots of sun. So it's be careful who you're hiring. Make sure they're using the right product.
Yeah. And
that's half the battle, you know? Do your research as a homeowner. I don't care if you hire us. You don't. Just, we'll give you free advice. You can call us for advice. That's something that we pride ourselves on as well, is, you know, we educate people to the point where they're like, why would I not go with these guys?
Yeah.
What if they're $500 more or whatever?
Yeah.
Ask them anything you want.
Because they're answering every question.
Anytime.
They're not stumbling.
That's what we...
It's based on experience and knowledge, right? You guys have gone out and done all the homework, right?
That's exactly it.
That's the person you want to hire.
Yep.
You're not interested in hiring somebody else because of that, right?
Yep. And that's how we prove to people that, you know, we're the real deal. And we, I'm passionate about floors, man. Like, this is,
Shit, man. That's the good thing about it. So it's good that you should hire a pro that knows their stuff.
Exactly.
Simple as that. The paint flakes, what exactly are they? They're actual paint, right?
A vinyl. They're actually vinyl chips.
Sticker, right?
But so there's only two manufacturers in the world of these paint chips.
That make the paint flakes?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So the company that
in
our
the
supplier
US?
Gets... I think there's one in the US, maybe one in Europe or something. Like, there's not a lot. The only company two. That we use, or that our supplier uses, is called Torgonol. And like a company like Lab Surface, for example, in Quebec, what they do is they buy Torgonol flakes, they put their sticker on it. But it's, at the end of the day, they're
so
still...
So it's just rebending. That's all it is.
Correct.
Yeah, but listen, in all fairness, loads of companies do that. You've got company that offer mortars and thin set, whatever.
Of course.
And they're rebranding for other people.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that, right?
Yeah.
But they do know that.
It could be North America. There's two. There might be more, because Australia's big on these coatings too.
But is it just like a liquid applied coating that's put on a surface and then it's cracked? And
yeah, they put it on like plastic sheets. Yeah. I've never been to the facility, so I don't know exactly. But from what I know, it's basically they put onto a plastic sheet and then there's certain blends. So for example, there's like the domino I was telling you about will be, don't quote me, but 40% black.
Yeah, there's a ratio.
40% white and 20% gray, right? So they'll weigh the flake and then they go into a mixing batch and they'll mix them and then they have different sizes. So in the States, they have 1-inch flake. I think it looks terrible. And they have 1/2-inch.
That's big.
It's too big. It's loud. It's
way too big.
It's not for me.
But America.
Yes. So our most popular.
Have you been to Texas?
Yeah, everything's bigger in Texas. So we use a 1/4-inch flake. It's the 1/4-inch is like the perfect.
That makes
sense.
That's
the most popular.
Yeah.
It covers any slab imperfections where, you know, there might be some grade issues, which we can't fix with the grinder because it's actually in the slab, and that will cover that. It just covers any imperfections. It covers a lot. We use a lot less flake to do it. It's just it's a much easier application. But then they have an 1/8-inch and a 1/16-inch, which we call microflake. Basically, they're just putting it in a barrel and they spin it and it just breaks. The chips just keep breaking until they're at the size that they want them to be.
Can you get a custom match or a custom mix?
Custom blends. It does cost more, but I can contact the manufacturer, Torgonol, and say, hey, like I'm doing a daycare. They want pink, lime green, and
you're
orange.
Getting some funky colors, you know, or something. So
you can fully, it does cost a bit more, but
it's option. It's
the
there.
World is your oyster. Any colors you want, it's amazing. I did a floor, it was a Halton area last summer. It was a black floor. It was a home gym, and we threw holographic silver. So there's like five colors of holographic. There's gold, silver, there's the tricolor one, like that looks like a rainbow almost. So you can get all these cool things you can add to it now. And it's just every year they're coming out with these amazing blends and colors, and it's pretty
cool.
That'd
be kind of cool with the 1-inch flakes for the American if you had a holographic 1-inch. Now you get a little bit of reflective coming up. But would that be slippery? No, you could add
this. Yeah, you can still add the...
You can add that into that application.
Yeah.
But it's funny that, you basically haven't said no to me yet. Like, every idea that I'm suggesting, what can be done or whatever, there's options. There's
we don't like to say no to people, you know? We'll always find a way, and if we can't, then we'll look for the way.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, everyone has a go-to image of what epoxy floors look like, and there's always that go-to blend, right? Like you said, the domino blend, right?
Yeah.
And then I guess the alternative to the domino blend would be the blue-gray blend or something like that. There's like that
kind of... The one with the blue, white, and the...
Yeah.
Torganol calls it Orbit. Leaf fans love it.
Yeah, because you get that hue, the blue hue.
It's loud.
I think it's a little loud.
There's one called Hog for the Harley guys. It's got orange, white, black. Yeah, I can see that. So somebody orders it once and they see...
Orange, white, and black.
Yeah, and they see a future in it. Then they're going to say, okay, let's call that Hog, Harley Davidson, right? So there's blends. I know a guy out west, he had a blend made for some... I think it was for Cargill. We were talking on Instagram about it. And anyways, it was a custom blend and they liked the blend so much that they started selling it. I forget exactly which one it is. He'll probably see this and... He can reach out to me and say it was this blend.
But I could see like the diehard Europeans, like the pork chops and the Italian guys, and they're like, no, it's got to be green, red, and gold.
That's Portugal. What I want.
Portugal. And I could see the guys wanting to do that garage. Like the dads and the grandfathers would be like, no, these are the colors you got to choose, right?
With the Ronaldo logo in the middle.
But then the question becomes, do you go the uniform or do you go the national colors? Because the uniform is always different to the national colors, right? So it's like, then you're conflicted.
To each his own.
Then you do the porch in national and you do the garage in the uniform, right?
Exactly. Do the sidewalls in one.
Hey. Then you start putting the numbers in there.
Pay, I lay.
What, exactly.
Whatever it is.
That's you're offering the things. You're finding out if they have it and you'll install it. That's the bottom line. That's how it works, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, man. Is there any downside to any of this shit? There's nothing. If it's not installed correctly.
Yeah, there's downsides to everything, right? I mean, moisture, like I said earlier, is the enemy of these coatings, and we do go to a lot of repairs. The industry is kind of, it's growing really fast, and there's these weekend guys or maybe haven't even done a weekend course, and they just start saying...
They offer that?
Yeah, they have a lot of courses now.
Like YouTube or something?
YouTube has them, and then you also can go to in-person ones, too.
I think just, you need more than a weekend.
That's the thing, right? So the way I did it, which I thought was the right way to do it, is, you know, go work for somebody. Same with, I'm a mechanic by trade. So to learn that, it took me, you know, 6,500 hours in my apprenticeship to learn it. The things you learn in that time with your hands on is 99% of what actually matters on the job.
Yeah.
You can watch any YouTube video you want, but until you get your hands dirty and realize, you know, that the epoxy is exothermic and you left it in the pail and it's smoking on you before you got it on the floor because you didn't know to dump it out. These are things that happen. It's happened to me, you know, when I started working with the other guy, I'll admit it, it happens to everybody. But if you're going to mess up on someone's floor that's paying, now we have a problem. Now you're making the industry look bad. Costing your customer
money.
You're
not even working for free at that point.
It's costing you money, and you're giving your customer a bad experience, which is giving us as an industry whole, you know, a bad name, a bad look.
Do you still have to, back in my day when I first did it, like you had to wear the horse veterinarian gloves, right?
Mm-hmm.
To protect your skin. Like the skin is still sensitive to any of these materials, or are they making them a lot more?
It's a lot better.
It's a lot better now?
So all the polys that we use are low odor.
Okay.
There are guys who will install, first of all, I'll just touch base. Epoxy is VOC free now. All epoxy is VOC free. It is or extremely low VOC to the point where you can't even smell it. But it's the polyaspartics and the polyurethanes. And, you know, those are where you have more strong chemicals and they are stronger. But they've all switched to low odor. So some of the low odors are still pretty smelly, but they have switched. Some guys will wear long sleeves to do installs. For poly, we always wear a respirator. For epoxy, we have them. It's optional for people, but it's really not necessary for just the base coat.
Yeah.
But when you're doing polyaspartic, especially indoors, it's very important to wear that.
You still gotta wear your PPE. You gotta be careful, right?
I don't usually wear gloves when I'm installing poly because it doesn't affect my hands. But if someone on the crew wants to, by all means, of course, right?
You won't know until you try it out because your skin could be different or whatever, and it could be reacting to something different, right?
And I have got, like, you know, doing a stairwell or something in someone's house, and your neck starts getting itchy kind of thing too, right? So, like, if maybe
that's
you
just
could
airborne
have,
or something?
Yeah, like it's in the air, and it's just, if you have sensitive skin or different products, they will affect you differently.
Three-way the world. These little puppies, I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these, and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner, the first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. You ever had to do a job where it's not that it went wrong or anything failed? The client, whether it's commercial or residential, just changed their mind. They're like, I don't want that one. I want to do another one. And now you have to do it all over again where you got to grind all this stuff off that you just installed.
Yes, but not jobs that we've done. We're the ones that go in and fix these.
So you're grinding the old job or the job that wasn't done properly.
Yes.
Is that a pain in the ass?
Oh, major. And it costs the customer way more.
It kills your machinery, does it?
So we have a removal fee, but it doesn't kill the machinery. It kills the segments. So we use a special segment called the PCD segment. So a normal diamond segment has like a... It's like flat. It's just, you know, it has different grits of diamond in it. Yeah. There's circle, there's arrows, there's zigzags. They all have their own purpose, you know, for different hardness or different concrete. All concrete's different, as I know you know.
Yeah.
It's always different. But what these ones have is little blades.
So they grind. They're
actually cutting the coating before the part that grinds it because it will just gum up.
That's what I figured.
The actual diamond segment. So what these do is it's actually cutting it and it's ripping it out and then the vacuum sucks it up. So I just did one on the weekend, actually. It was a glue removal, like LVT tile, the glue underneath.
Yep.
And with a regular segment, you could probably spend 24 hours and you wouldn't get this 10 by 20 or 15 by 20 section off.
But that blade, you
do that blade, we had it done in, it was still a BITCH, but we had it done in 3 hours, 4 hours, you know, like it was major difference. So it's all about having the right segments and the right tools in your arsenal, right? And there's more aggressive PCDs and there's less aggressive. And, you know, we have about 6 or 7 sets of diamonds that we use. And then that gives us a very wide range of removal or concrete preparation, which is, again, the most important part. So you got to invest in those segments.
You're
going to
need them anyways. Eventually
exactly.
That's what I mean about the weekender. The weekender learning this course on YouTube is never going to experience that. You have to be on the job site to confront that.
And it takes at least 50 to 100 jobs before you're truly like,
I'm a pro.
Confident, man. Yeah.
You can basically say that, right?
Yeah.
You got to learn.
I still learn every day.
Of course, right?
As soon as you stop learning, you might as well shut your doors and get out of business.
Well, that's what some people do because they're in it for the fly by night, right? That's the unfortunate thing.
Quick money.
And they're great salespeople. That's the really unfortunate thing because they know how to sell to the client. They know how to pander the right words, the right phrases. And then the client's like, hey, this person really knows their stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We should definitely go with them. And the price is great. Well, it's all bullshit. As simple as that, right? You really need to. And if they were to get 3 or 4 quotes, which they should, they would see that one standing out, if not two.
Mm-hmm.
Then you only talk to the two that are actually comparable, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how this industry, any part of construction works, right?
Yep.
But the client always wants the cheapest.
We get a lot of price shoppers, and I'll be honest, we don't get many of them.
Really?
Yeah, no, if they're a true price shopper and all they want is the lowest price, we're not those guys, man.
What's some of the key things that price shopper would say to you? Because it's always in the proof is in the pudding.
Always.
When you start speaking to somebody, whether it's construction, you want to learn some knowledge or something like that. If someone wants to speak to you on your level, you know within a few moments if they are full of a crap or they just like they don't know their stuff.
If someone's asking the price before they're asking about the quality and what and our system, like a system that we're using, which differentiates from other people, that's kind of a red flag. But that's not always. Sometimes I'm a frugal guy. I like to know the price of stuff too, and I want to be fair with people. But you get what you pay for. Like if you're paying $5 compared to for Flake, we're $7.49, which is very fair, industry fair.
That's comparable. Yeah.
But for the extra dollar or $1.50 a square foot, and a garage is only 500 square feet. So if it's $1.50 more, extra $7.50 to have the job done perfect, to me, it's a no brainer. But sometimes that $7.50 is the deal breaker with people. It's just it's human nature.
You want to that educate themselves instead of insulting the industry, right?
Those clients that educate themselves, when I show up, we get those jobs every time. Yeah, if they know what they're looking for, and they already know what the word polyaspartic means, and you know what I mean, different thicknesses and insulation and about surface prep and stuff, then when we show up and we mention all those things, touch on all those bases, and we're just being honest, that's our process, then that's when we get hired.
So I'm noticing there's a lot of trends, especially coming into more of the luxury higher end homes. Mm-hmm. You're getting the car lifts, right? Mm-hmm. So you're getting the slab, and if it's a double or if it's a triple or a quadruple garage, whatever, one of them has a lift and it goes either down or goes up or whatever.
Yep.
Can you apply any of this stuff onto the actual metal coating of the lift, or that's
poly will bond to metal?
It will bond to metal?
Yes.
So then it can be consistent all the way throughout. All you have is a frame of the actual lift, right?
Yeah.
So it blends in. Yeah, you can do that.
It will chip easier than on concrete. Like poly is so flexible. You can drop a 40 pound brake rotor on your floor and it probably won't leave anything. It might damage the concrete underneath it, if anything. So the good thing is with the poly on the metal is it just flexes. It bonds so well.
You'll go with the movement of.
Correct.
Really?
Yes. And we have other products we use, but there's like a elastomeric waterproofing membrane which is basically liquid rubber. I actually do a bunch of RV roofs now. We started doing RV roofs last year with this product.
That ain't the
it's not the moose one you see on Instagram all the time.
No, the storm door bottom bolt or whatever it is. What's that stuff?
The flex seal spray. You made a boat, screen door to a boat. Yeah, no,
it ain't that, right?
That's the. What's department store Rust-Oleum epoxy kit version of this. But anyway, so that stuff can be stretched 20 times. Like
really?
It's unbelievable. Like I say, the materials and the technology in this industry.
It's moved fast.
It's amazing,
man.
It's a great business to be in, and it's a great time.
It was hard to get information 20 years ago, man. It was extremely hard to even get the right information or even talk to the right people. It wasn't there. It just wasn't there.
You got gatekeepers too. Like, I did the same thing. Like, for example, you know, James at Mint, like I've not copied him, but I modeled my business around a good business I saw. And, you know, I asked people like this for advice, and these guys give advice. And now we're the guys getting these DMs from all over North America and the world about what we're using. What product is this? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? And I happily answer every single one of these guys because I was there too. I remember what it was like, you know, trying to learn and being hungry to learn and grow your skill set, your knowledge. Like that's value, man.
If James shows up next week to record and he doesn't bring me a little package of mint for my mojitos, I'll be a little disappointed.
I'll have to let him know.
No, I love that you basically, if you've done the homework, man, and it's not just you've done the research, you haven't done the PKs or like that, you've done all that stuff, plus you've actually been on the site doing the work, and you're still doing the work too, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So you're learning every single time.
I'm on almost every single job site that we have still.
You're still on the tools and doing it? And correct. Yeah. Wow.
I might not
you
be
planning on getting.
Yes, that's okay. The next step. It's hard to find. If there's any epoxy installers out there, send us a DM. But it's hard to find a good epoxy installer that is reliable, that you can trust. Maybe doesn't have like a drinking problem or something. You know, I mean, it's fine to have a couple of beers, but you can't be showing up drunk. It's kind of like the roofing industry. I hate to like
you're right.
To bash any industry.
No, you're right, man.
Without saying anymore, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Like, I don't think you want a guy doing epoxy where he still has his blunt sticking out and it's just red. You know what I mean? Like, you're too close to chemicals here, man. I don't want igniting, right? So, and I'm not saying that.
When you go home, do what you got to do.
You do
right?
what you want, but on the job site, you got to still be conscious of what's around you, right? Your surroundings. And plus the people you're working with.
Exactly. And you got to be able to trust people. We're in people's houses. We have to go in. They're in their garage. We're in their basements. You got to be able to trust these people, right?
And I'm not saying that every contractor on site smokes weed. I'm not saying that, right? I'm just saying that big portion of them do.
And if they do it at home, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's legal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They got to do what they got
to
do.
But I mean, yeah, it's hard to find. But plus, I think it's like the roofing thing. It's not a glamorous job.
No.
Even a new roof, when you look at it, it looks great. But the thing is, everybody's sight line always goes like this, right? And same with the floor. Once the garage door is closed, I don't see what I just did. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they look at it as a glamorous trade.
Yeah.
But they're forgetting that it's actually a skill trade. There's a lot of effort and you got to know your shit to do it.
Yeah.
And you're making it's an extension of the house. I keep on saying that you're creating a new room for the house. Mm-hmm. It's a big room always time, man. It's like 200 square feet all the time.
Sometimes it's the biggest room in people's house. They don't even 100%. Use it. They don't even use it.
And they don't even use it. They park their vehicle, don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
And then that's the other gripe that I have is I have lots of neighbors that just stack. You ever go into the garage and all of a sudden they got like, it's almost like a project or storage wars. Like it's just, dude, you got to move all this shit. Like I can't get to this floor.
We have a solution for that too.
Oh, you guys will offer to get rid of that?
We don't get rid of, well, I do have junk guys.
You can contact.
Friends with, but we work with a company called Storage Box and Space at Hand. And these companies, they offer a secure storage solution. So they'll have a 16 or 20 foot or 24 foot.
Just to move it.
They show up, they put 2x4s down. They don't damage your driveway. Yep. It's super reasonable. It's something like, don't quote me again, but it's like $90 or $80 to drop it off. $5 a day and $90 or $80 to pick it up, as long as you're in the city. So they have all
that's
their stuff
reasonable.
Secure for a week with taxes. It's usually under $300, $250 sometimes. To me, and you get to pick which way you want the door. So for us, if there's room, we're going to put it at the back so we can move the stuff. Yeah. And we will move for elderly people and stuff. We don't really offer it, but if someone needs it, we will.
You guys will do it.
We help the customer, right? We'll charge a small fee and we'll move their stuff out. And then when we're complete, we'll come back, we'll move the stuff in. We even will be the liaison between us and Space at Hand, between the client and Space at Hand. And we order it all and we, you know, tack a small fee for the convenience of it. Yep. But we also give them the choice to do it themselves if that's something they're interested in, to save a buck. Here's the company we use. We don't need to make anything off of it. It's there. If you want us to do it, we'll gladly help you out so we can get your garage done. And then hopefully we can get some organization and solve those issues with the
They've got two opportunities space. At that point right now.
Exactly.
So when it's all coming out, you can actually start to declutter shit and just go, okay, listen, we really don't need this. Throw this out. Mm-hmm. And when it's going back in, they're going to have a different mindset seeing the finished garage. They're going to be like, let's start organizing this garage now, right? And so let's see what's going to have to come back into this garage.
Yeah.
It actually is very convenient to the
client.
And it's
an opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
I have a slat wall sample, you know. James made it for me. Here's a nice slat wall sample we have. This is what you could have. You know, these hooks hold 45 pounds each. You got canoes you want to put up. You got whatever it is, right? You want recycling bins off the ground. It's just getting things off the ground and getting organized and
people there's nothing like a really nice organized garage, man.
We don't realize how cluttered, even my own garage, how cluttered it is until you do like a nice purge and you're like, oh man, this feels nice. I got room to work again, right?
Yeah.
It's nice.
Take the opportunity, man. What else? Anything else you want to share, Rob, before I get to the 12 questions? Covered everything. Well, to get a hold of you is through the email or through ID or IG with the DMs or you can call you.
Yeah.
Service area. How far are you going?
We go everywhere, all over Ontario. We went to Muskoka a couple times last year. So we would do a guy's garage, you know, lives in Kitchener. And he's like, can you come do my cottage? And it's like, sure thing, but travel fee, but we'll go wherever.
He's got a cottage in Muskoka?
Yeah.
That's a commute every weekend in the summertime.
We went twice last year to Muskoka area. One of them was just outside Muskoka, but we did a.
So you just trailer, bring it in there, all the gear, guys, the crew, and everybody, and in and out one day.
Yeah, usually I just bring for those ones. I try to bring me and my old man, and for the one I had to bring one extra person, but try to keep a skeleton crew if you can,
because
you're not keeping somebody else overnight.
What was the old man doing before this?
Is he
a mechanic too?
No, but he's a handy guy. Like he is his own handy stuff. He still does his own thing for that. He was a school board employee, grounds and maintenance, 38 years, actually.
Carl.
Long time.
Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
You know?
He can fix anything.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I mean, yeah.
He's who I learned my hard work ethic from and the reason I'm here today, man.
Actually, just on a side tangent there, the cars. So I'm sure you still tinker, right?
Yeah.
Because you have the skill, you have the knowledge and shit like that. What's with all the modern cars today, man? What's your one takeaway from the modern cars today?
Too much technology. I just bought my first new vehicle, new truck, and it's too much tech. There's too much tech, man. I just want a basic.
Give me a window where you got to do this.
Yeah, you can't even get them anymore, eh? Like you kids don't know what they are. They don't know what a hand crank is.
Give me a gear shift.
I have a 2005 S2000, and to me that's like the epitome of the perfect, you know, Japanese technology. There, it was new
Honda
enough.
Honda S2000.
Big supercharger. It's fun. Yeah. But that's the perfect era to me, actually. Before I got this truck, I was in an 05 Avalanche and I had an 05 Corolla.
I think you're right. 05. As soon as the Millennium turned,
it was good.
It went down.
They were safe vehicles, you know.
But everything was fine. Airbags were just getting over the hump of their failures or whatever. Yes. They were becoming mainstream. They were messing around with 3-point, 4-point, the little slide seatbelt and shit like that. But mechanically speaking, things were good.
Great. Japanese engines in that era are just bulletproof.
Nowadays, you got to move everything
to
get to one thing.
Yeah.
And then you got the criminals that know that little trick about dismantling the bulb on the headlight to dismantle the whole alarm system.
It's called a CAN bus attack. That's the computer system.
So why would you, and I already know the answer, these manufacturers they're not fixing these problems because
they're going to sell more vehicles.
That's exactly it.
I thought about this too. At the end of the day, they know if 10% of them get stolen, their sales just went up 10% to a market they didn't even have.
Without having to do a single sale.
And they don't sell those cars in Africa and the Middle East, which is where they all go. So now they get their cars there too.
It's anybody who's driving a Toyota pickup Tundra. Truck. It's going to have a Gatling gun on the back real soon when it shows up in the container.
Forerunners, Highlanders, RAV4s.
You know what I missed? The Forerunner with the roof off, the bar.
I love Forerunners.
I love that. It was the only SUV other than the American ones, and I guess you go as far back with the station wagons, that had the drop-down window on it. I love that.
Yeah, the Forerunners still have that.
I know.
That
I love it. It's great to put your dog in the back. And
I think they have it patented because nobody else has it. Eh? You ever notice that? You never see it on anybody else.
You've never seen a pickup truck that's ever done that on the back window there, right? The
Avalanche. My old Avalanche did it.
Avalanche was one of the smartest, I think, was
ahead of its time.
It was way ahead of its time. I had a friend who had it. He showed me. He transformed it off of them as prime action. And I was like, dude, that's pure genius, man.
You could fit an 8x4 sheet of drywall in it with the tailgate shut.
Or you could fit the 5 bodies in there, adults in there.
Perfect, 6 bodies.
And still put,
And then I thought you meant the back, not in the truck.
Sorry?
I thought you meant bodies in the trunk.
Oh, no, you could do that too. It's not Goodfellas, but you could do that. No, but it's just like, all these great ideas, right? And then in the same vein, I'm pretty sure that at GM, it would have been 2 departments, right? One would design the Avalanche, the other one designed the Aztec.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell happened with that thing, right? But the cars today, like, what the hell is going on, man?
It's just too much technology. Everything's tracked. It's always doing updates. My truck's always doing updates, and it's just, I don't like it. Some stuff's nice, though, I'll admit. Like, I have a schedule every morning, whatever time I got to get up. If I'm leaving the house at 6, truck starts at 5:50 on a schedule. You can extend it. It goes 15 minutes. You can send it to half hour. It's nice and warm. You get in it. Like, there's creature comforts, I'll admit, that there's I some, like.
Yeah. Like, I got no spare tire on mine. Right. So all of a sudden I hit a bump and I got the bulge on the side and then I get the warning. But even before I realized that I got a warning, I already got service talking to me.
Run flats on it?
They're not. Yeah, they're run flats. Yeah. But if you get a bulge on the side, it won't go.
Oh.
So if you hit it at a certain angle and the sidewall, because a run flat works on the base on the sidewall. It could be completely empty, but the sidewall is what takes the weight of the vehicle.
It's so stiff.
But the moment that you damage the sidewall and you get a bulge, then the vehicle, it won't let you drive it. Oh. So it automatically customer service gets on the phone. It starts to communicate you. Are you in a safe position? You start talking to this human being. That's not press one and get English. It's an actual human being.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, how the fuck do you know where I am and what happened to me and all this other? And they know.
That's
too
crazy.
Much technology. They know everything.
Yeah.
And then you got to get on a flatbed, it gets put, and then you got to change the tire and you got to go through that whole procedure.
Yeah.
When I'm of the age where you got a flat tire, you pulled out the kit and you started raising the, and then you took
fucking up the get it done.
You get it done and you put the new one on that's got dust all over it.
Yeah.
Especially the old pickup
truck.
Hopefully
it's got air in it still.
Well, it's got air in it, but it's low. It's got low enough to get to the gas station.
Yeah.
But I had an old Nissan where you had to crank that little.
From the back.
Yeah, to lower it.
Yeah. Right? And half the time they're seized.
100% seized. You're kicking it to get it started, right? Yeah. And you're hoping that you're not going to bend it. But that's how you got out of trouble.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you get out of trouble with a phone call or someone's actually tracking you. They know where you are.
You're 100% right.
Too much technology, man. Bring back the old ones, man. Bring
100%.
Back the dealerships and shit. A home built on trust, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a structure. It's where memories are made, where your family grows, and where you find comfort. That's why your renovation or building project deserves nothing less than the utmost care and quality. Because it's not just about creating a space, it's about creating a place where life happens. Tim, the heart and soul behind Ravine View Construction, understands that your home is personal, and whether you want to be involved in every detail or prefer to leave it in the hands of a trusted expert, he and his team are here to make your vision a reality. At Ravine View Construction, every project is handled with the passion it deserves, from the initial site assessment to the final touches that turn a house into a home. Tim's team doesn't just build, they protect what matters most. With a reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to using only the best materials, Ravine View Construction ensures that your home isn't just beautiful, it's built to last. Tim and his team work alongside the finest tradespeople, guiding you through every step so you always feel confident and cared for. Let them help you create a space where you can enjoy peace of mind and cherish moments with those you love for years to come. Connect with Ravine View Construction today at 416-671-0170 or visit them at www.rvchomes.ca. For direct inquiries, email Tim at info@rvchomes.ca. Let them build not just a house, but a home filled with lasting memories. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. All right. Sorry. What is it? www.fireepoxy.ca. Correct. Find them on TikTok and IG and Facebook at Fire Epoxy Inc. 519-716-5045. Phone number and his email is fireepoxy@hotmail.com.
Thank you, Manny. Call or text anytime.
Where are my 12 questions? There they are. A person you would trade places with for a day.
I'll be honest. This was the toughest one for me. I've never in my life ever thought about being somebody else. I've been so lucky to have the life I have. I never even thought of this, so I had to think about this one. I said Max Verstappen because he's a race car driver. I'd like to have one day to go. I was an amateur race car driver before as well. I didn't mention that. I ran the Canadian Sport Compact Series, just some amateur road racing.
Oh, wow.
But I'd like to have the chance to run like the Monaco Grand Prix or something like that for a day. Would be a dream. So that's really all I can think of.
Do they let regular people?
No. No, no. Like... So like,
I mean, regular financial people,
like a professional or someone I would race with that's really good. You put them beside like an F3 guy and the F3 guy would destroy them. And then you put the F3 guy beside the F1 guy and it would just be like decimation. Like there's no comparison at all.
What's your favorite racing movie? Were you a fan of Rush or were you a fan of Ferrari?
I like Ford versus Ferrari.
That was actually a really good one. Yeah,
that's very good.
I'm curious about F1 coming out this year.
Yeah, we'll see what they do.
I want to feel the speed. That's all I care about. If I could feel the speed, then I'm like, okay, you guys did your job right.
There was talks of bringing back V10. I read something
I just
online,
saw that recently. They're going to get
happen.
You don't think so?
No, they're so
ingrained in it.
Yeah, they're into the hybrid now. And F1 has always been like an industry leader and they want to always have the top technology. And then from there, it trickles down to the manufacturers. But that's always kind of where the manufacturers showcase their latest tech, right?
But... is not those F1 drivers, those rock stars of those athletes, right? Can you picture the Sennas, the Schumachers, the Hamiltons driving these hybrid vehicles and actually enjoying it?
It's like, not the same.
It's not the same thing.
It's like
Senna was complaining about technology being way back in the 90s, yeah, right?
There's
he
no
didn't
more
want
soul.
All that technology.
It's like the cars we just talked about. There's no mechanical connection to the wheels. You have electronic steering.
You're just a puppet in a box.
You're just steering it.
That's all you're doing. That's not racing.
I love the manual. Like my car was, standard, obviously manual steering. Like you feel everything and you become part of that
car.
Pop
the clutch because it was old enough and it was shit. And 100%. We knew how to get it. Park it on a downhill. I get it.
Yeah.
But that's how you worked it. So yeah, I'm just curious. Other racing movies. I mean, I still am a fan. I'll watch, what's the Steve McQueen one way back when? Grand Prix.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's an old school one. That's an old school one. That was pretty good for
classic.
The time. Yeah, it's a very classic one, right? But I just like that screaming sound, man. I like seeing... You know what I hate about new cars nowadays, which I can't stand? They're hiding the exhaust pipes.
Yeah.
But yet, they're still incorporating a design feature in the bumper to make it look
the
like...
cutouts.
Yeah. Audi's famous for that crap. You can see the exhaust coming out on the bottom, but they've got
they
a little...
turned down.
Yeah.
Whereas in our generation, we wanted to put the biggest pipes on there, the big fart can, the dual exhaust.
It was like on the Civic and it had the pipe on it.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
I had a tough time with this one too. I said milk and cookies. I'm a big A big Lactantia.
I like a big Lactantia,
you know, pure filter, blue bag, five chips ahoy, you know, end of a hard day.
No, it's not bad. I remember, that's kid. That's being a kid.
It brings out the childhood memories, you know. I still give that to my daughter all the time. She's always asking milk and cookies.
What is your least favorite tool?
I have to say a hand grinder, just because doing so much time on my hands and knees. And I still
do it.
You
guys still use it in the corners, right?
Yeah, but I try to get the other guys to do it. I've done it enough.
You guys get it.
But like, I don't like to be the guy that's like, you do this, you do this. Like, I lead by example. Like, if something needs to be done and I need to show someone how to do it, I'll get down.
It's the best way.
I do it, and then I say, you good with that? Okay, take over.
If the boss is doing it.
Exactly.
Biggest risk you ever took?
I forget what I had written down, but I'm just going to go off the top of my head here and just start.
Hold it out if you want to put it.
Starting a business, man.
That's a huge risk, man.
Taking, I left the mechanical trade, my job. I had a pretty good job.
Which is a solid trade.
I was working for UPS. I was a mechanic at UPS. I worked at different dealerships and nothing crazy, but decent salary. And it's kind of like a golden handcuff, you know, deciding to go to the other business, my food business idea that I had. It was just like overnight, like, I'm not happy anymore. I don't like coming to work anymore. You know, I love cars, but I don't even want to work on my own car anymore because I'm so sick of this. Like, it's kind of a thankless trade. And so I guess the biggest risk I had was just, you know, making the decision to go on my own and have the balls to say, I'm going to do this. And I had the picture when I closed my eyes before I even saw it. It was already there, right?
Focus is key.
Yeah.
Do you still, as a UPS mechanic, have to wear a brown uniform?
No, we wear blue.
You wear blue?
Blue mechanic, yeah.
It's a little brown logo. Blue, brown logo.
You had to shave. No tattoos.
No beards?
No beards. Same with my job now. Mustache only, down to the lip. Your hair couldn't go past your ears. Like, they're very, very old school.
Is it military or is it delivery service?
It's like the military. I think they've laxed up in the last few years. But when I was there up until, I think, 2018 or 2019, I was there. 2018.
Oh, I don't know if I'd be able
guys
to.
Guys were covering their, they had to cover sleeves. Their sleeves with, or they had to wear long sleeves in the summer, long pants. It's ridiculous. Like, we're in 20, at the time, you know, 2019, 2018.
So no piercings then?
Women can't have
men
more
or
than,
women.
They can have nose these. Rings. They can't have this one. They had to take, like, it was crazy. No funky color hair, natural hair. But again, I think they've since, I'm not sure, you could look up when.
But if you're a pork chop or Italian, you want to do little blonde tips.
I don't know about that.
Maybe.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
But yeah, it was very, very old school.
Best compliment you ever got?
This is probably an easy one for me. I'd say like just customer referrals. We've had so many times now where someone's like, yeah, I got your number from John F. I'm like, oh, who's that? Oh, he knows someone from this place. And like, I don't even know who they are, to be honest. I always go, yeah, nice, cool, John F. But in all honesty, I don't even know who these people are. And these people are telling others that we're the best in the industry and these are the ones you want. And I haven't even met them. So to me, that's so special. Like,
it's great.
It means the world to me, man. I hear that is the biggest compliment as a business owner you could get, man.
So it just shows you that whenever you're doing anything, people are watching and they're paying attention and then they're sharing it, right?
Yes. We try to educate on all of our videos. I don't know if you ever watch, but like everything we do, we're educating what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it. Yeah. And
the knowledge is there.
They might not need epoxy today, but they're going to remember like 2 years on the road when someone does. Shit, I remember a fire epoxy guy. He knew what he was doing. I actually learned his videos were interesting. Oh, this is the guy you want to use, right?
Yeah.
And I have one more compliment I just thought of now. But yeah, sure. When people tell me how well-behaved my kids are, man, that's special, man. Like,
compared to the majority of kids
as a parent, like, I take big pride in our kid. We're lucky. We have good kids. But
what's the age range?
They're 3 and 4 Irish twins.
Oh, yeah, that's
364
right,
days apart. Yeah. Yeah, we're busy. But anyways, that's one of the best compliments that you can get, man.
Favorite beverage?
For hot beverage, I'd say steep tea from Tim Hortons.
Okay.
For cold beverage, Coca-Cola.
What never fails to make you laugh?
My kids. The crazy shit they come up with all the time. And it's
like,
the games,
how did you come up with that? Like, how
the
do you?
The games and the stuff they remember. Like, I'll say something, and then 2 months later, my son brings it up, and it's hilarious. I'm like, oh, dad did say that.
This will come in handy later on in life.
Yes.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
That you need to just work, you know, 40 hours a week and follow the norm and, you know.
No, you don't. You don't have to. You can if you want.
Play it safe. Don't take a risk. People you always have the naysayers saying that kind of stuff, right? Because they didn't take the risk and they don't want to see somebody maybe get farther than they got. Who knows what the reason behind it is, but you have a lot of people that have, over the years, that's dumb, or why would you do that?
Let them.
I started a food business and I could barely even cook, if I'm being totally honest, man. Honestly.
We did. You learn how to cook.
We did six figures in our first year with that one. Like it was, we're blessed, man. Like when we started something, I'm serious with it. But
you anyways, go full tilt.
That was just.
But there's a lot of those kinds of people out there.
Some bad advice.
They're just projecting their own failures. That's all it is, yeah. Right? As simple as that. What profession other than your own would you guys, or what profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
So, as we discussed, I'm very lucky to have my dream profession. When I was a kid, people asked what I wanted to be. It was a firefighter and entrepreneur. I'm literally living the dream. But if I had to pick one, professional race car driver, make it to F1 is just the highest possible level.
Do you go? Do you go check out?
I haven't been. I'd like to go though into Montreal.
Montreal Grand Prix is pretty cool.
Yeah. I will go. Like you said,
Monaco. It'd be nice to go to some of the other.
It'd be beautiful.
Brazil or even fucking Japan.
Like I'd say a bucket list thing for me is when me and my wife are retired, we go to all the events one day. You know what I mean? Down the road. But that would be a huge.
Do a whole year?
Huge bucket. Oh, that'd be unbelievable. Probably couldn't afford that. But I mean, even if I could do a couple a year, you know, when you're in your retirement 8 years, that'd be a dream come true.
That'd be cool. Favorite curse word?
I have a lot of curse words I'd like to use. My favorite one, I got it from my dad. Top of the list. For fuck's sakes. Everything goes wrong. I grew up, I'm 10 years old. For fuck's sakes, you know? So it's just kind of, and I work with him all the time. He's my foreman, right? He's always with us. I still use it.
Yeah.
And when I'm around the kids, I've replaced it with for 5'6". And then it's kind of like a little, I still know what it means.
5'6".
But me and the wife will look at each other, kind of laugh. But
4'5'6". I like that one.
Yeah.
What is your favorite vehicle in the world? Any mode of transportation?
I put a GT3 RS and a C8 ZR1. I have my eye on a Z06 C7 as my next. I'm going to sell the S2000 for that eventually.
For a new one, like a 25?
No, the last standard. I don't want an automatic. That's the problem with this. I love the C8, but they're all paddle shifter. I need an H pattern real shifter.
Yeah.
So I believe it was 2019.
Was it a 6-speed?
7-speed.
Seven?
Yeah, for the C7, it was a 7-speed.
And it was reasonably priced, too. Well, I don't know what it is now.
They're probably like close to 100 still for a nice clean Z06, but you get what you pay for.
Yeah, I totally.
So that mind. And then a GT3 RS is kind of a bucket list car of mine that I'll have one day. I don't know how soon, but one day.
One day.
Yeah.
One day you'll be parking it on your own garage with epoxy on it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Your family's here waiting for you.
Rob, man, absolute pleasure. Nice to meet you, man.
Thanks for having me.
See, you're not too nervous. Everything, it kind of goes
away. I've calmed down now.
Yeah, it's fine, right? So, say hi to James, and he's going to be on the show soon. I'm looking forward to having a chat with him, and I'm sure we'll probably mention you as well, too. But keep doing the shit that you're doing, man.
I appreciate having us, and I look forward to hearing that next episode, too. Antonio's, too.
Yeah, that's going to be good. I don't even know what we're going to talk about. Well, something come up, right? So
it's good to shoot the shit. It's a good
shoot
time.
Shoot the shit. Everyone's always, you're more than welcome to come back anytime too and just continue. Give me a progress report, whatever. But
amazing.
I like what you're doing, man. So keep on doing it.
I really appreciate you and the construction life.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, we're out of here.